Henry Raine Show here at WWPR, 1490 AM. Yeah, we're here every Saturday, 12:05 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. or thereabouts. And we want to remind you that the Bradenton Bitcoin Cryptocurrency Meetup and Bradenton Blockchain Business and Development Meetup and the Sarasota Bitcoin Meetup are going to go on hiatus for at least another month here at the general area of Manatee and Sarasota County, most likely starting back up after Labor Day, but possibly a special event before then. So in the studio today, we have blockchain CPA Kara Haas, science fiction romance novelist, crypto expert Sabine Priestley, Goldbug1, a.k.a. Andy, SeekingCryptos.com co-founder, and of course, Augie is here with his wisdom. Speaking of wisdom, on the phone line, we have a returning guest that everyone's excited about having here. Samuel Arms is the CEO of RealPolytech, LLC. Website is RealPolytechLLC.com, and we'll remind you of that and spelling, et cetera, in just a moment. Samuel is a recent graduate of the University of South Florida with dual degrees in finance and economics. While in college, he also worked with the U.S. Special Operations Command on assessing threats from bad actors in the Bitcoin cryptocurrency. You guys got a show going on?
Yeah.
Okay, well, share it with... We're exchanging Pulitzer Prizes. Oh. I think there's only one person in here that we can expect to get the Pulitzer.
Well, thank you, Henry.
Back to Samuel.
Yeah.
Come on.
Let's not leave all the women out there in Florida waiting.
Let me finish his introduction here. All right, so, he was Special Operations Command, yada, 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 and then he worked for the State Department, also on cryptocurrency blockchain policy. He's worked at the Florida State Legislature as well as a local lobbying firm. Now he has his own company with a special event that he's putting on with our friends up at Block Spaces in Tampa, Gabe Higgins and Rosa Shores, and that will be this Monday, July 2nd at 5 o'clock. So let's not waste any more time and say hi again to Samuel Arms. Hi, Samuel.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. And let me just get your volume set here, right? So since the last time we saw you, you came to one of our meetups, but you've been in the studio as a guest. You were just getting your company, RealPolytech LLC, RealPolytechLLC.com, started. And so how's that journey taking you so far? What have you been up to?
Yeah, so things are going actually extremely well. So mainly I've just been doing kind of more of the same. I've just been going around different cities in Florida and trying to assess different meetup groups. And just kind of advertise what I'm doing and get people behind me to start informing state representatives about blockchain and Bitcoin and on the policy side. So that's kind of accumulated right now, at least in the Tampa Bay area, into the event that we're hosting Monday. So we have about 5 to 7 different state reps, as well as some people actually from the CFO's office, hopefully, going to be coming, and we're just going to be educating them not only on how blockchain works, but getting them a view of how big the crypto community is here in Tampa. We're pretty excited for that.
Okay. All right, we're going to come back to that and make sure people know about that on Monday at 5 o'clock at Block Spaces. But as you've gone around to different meetups, and, of course, Tampa Bay probably is like the hub for the state, have you seen any communities that compare with Tampa Bay?
So far, no, I haven't. Tampa Bay is definitely, in my opinion, the most advanced, and I think that is because of Block Spaces and what they've been doing there. As far as places like Orlando, Miami, and Jacksonville, you see the beginning, I think, of infrastructure developing. You have sometimes very sizable meetup groups and education platforms developing there, but nothing I would say is organized as what people at, say, Block Spaces.
I'm sorry, which community was that?
Which community? Which ones? I mean,
the one you were just talking about, the one that is off to a good start but doesn't compare with Tampa yet.
Oh, I would say the biggest one would be Orlando and Miami. Those would be the runner-up.
All right. So the next phase is to talk with the business people and the policy leaders around the state. So where did that take you since the last time we saw you?
Yeah, so I've been meeting with a lot of different people who are affected by a lot of different legislation, right? So the biggest one right now is still, I think, money transmitters and money transmitter licenses, right? And people who are in the state of Florida who want to set up platforms to sell and buy different cryptocurrencies between people. Otherwise, I'm still working with people in the real estate industry, again, kind of involved in the healthcare industry as well. But right now we're still kind of at the beginning of stages of figuring out what's all out there.
What is a money transmitter license and why is that important to people?
So a money transmitter license was actually set up, I believe, as early as 2000. And that's essentially if you want to transmit money from one person to another person, you need a license to do it. So the reason you need a license to do it is back in 2000, a lot of the banks got scared of quote-unquote terrorism and money laundering. So that was kind of the big push behind that. You had it at a federal level, but especially at a state level. Every state kind of has a different approach to the money transmitter license. So if you were a bank, you would argue that you're just protecting the consumer and making sure that, you know, people aren't eliciting illegal funds through people, through different institutions. But if you are not a bank and you are trying to sell different cryptocurrencies, then you would just view it more as a barrier to entry.
So we see some little pop-up businesses that come up, and they advertise that you can come there and that you can buy Bitcoin there. Would that type of business have a money transmitter license or should have a money transmitter license?
So technically, no, right? So if you have a Bitcoin ATM, because the transaction's between a person and just the ATM, you wouldn't need a money transmitter license because you're not going on a platform from a person to another person. The Bitcoin ATM is where it starts and stops.
What about, though, around the corner from us here, we have a shop. I'm not going to give out the name, but you walk in there and there's a real live person there that's going to sell you Bitcoin.
Yeah, so that would still be much in the same. He's essentially just a human version of an ATM, right? Now, if he's trying to broker that between two people, right, then that might be a little different, right? If he's trying to act as a middleman between people buying and selling as opposed to just being the one-stop shop for it all, that might be a little bit different.
I see. Okay, and we're speaking with Samuel Arms, CEO of Real Polytech LLC, realpolytechllc.com, hosting a legislative blockchain education and social at Block Spaces in Tampa on Gandy Boulevard. It's on Gandy Boulevard. I'm correct on that, aren't I? Just off it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's going to be Monday at 5 o'clock, and it's going to go run around 2 hours.
It'll be at 4 o'clock.
Oh, on their website it says...
They told Samuel to be there early.
Oh.
To get pictures with all the women that want, you know, pictures and stuff.
Autograph session.
I think there's a photo shoot we're doing for the Henry Raines for the summer swimsuit edition. You know, we have the calendar coming out next
your gold
year.
Thong?
Yes, yeah, I have my gold thong. I am the cover, Sam. I'm sorry. I have to push you back to the first page.
That's okay. I don't mind.
You'll be Mr. January.
Yeah, he can be June. We'll give him
June,
the double
July, spread. Centerfold. We already got that sorted.
Now, if this was a female guest, we would be catching so much grief for her.
But here's the thing, though. Like, Samuel actually has some substance here, so let's think of something besides.
Well, let's figure
right
out why the Blockspaces website is saying 5 o'clock and he's telling us 4 o'clock. That might be important.
So if you actually look at their website and then they have a flyer attached to it, the flyer even says 4 p.m. So I'm sure someone just accidentally hit the wrong button.
Okay, well, all right. So as far as we're concerned, it's 4 o'clock and it's going to end at 6.
Yeah, so if you show up, I'll at least be there.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll keep reminding people of that through the time. Car?
So, Samuel, as you're starting to interact with some of these potential companies, are you finding that as they're going through the process of getting improved, whether it be as money transmitter businesses, going through the AML process, the Bank Secrecy Act processes, are the barriers to entry changing? Are they becoming more difficult? As somebody who's been working on attempting to enter this market, say, 2 years ago or a year ago, are they having an even greater degree of difficulty getting in? Are you finding the rules change?
And just quickly, I have to say, you're listening to WWPR, 1490 AM, Bradenton, Sarasota, St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay. Go ahead, please, Samuel.
No, so as far as I can tell, nothing's necessarily changed. It's just that people are finally realizing how high these barriers to entries are, right? And so I'll go back to the kind of classic of example. I was talking to this guy who's trying to get a money transmitter license, and he was told that to hire someone to do all the paperwork for him, to rush all that through, would be upwards of $1 million. That's the figure they gave him. And so this is just a small startup, and so obviously they can't afford $1 million. Now he's doing it on his own. And I think the process took upwards of 6 months, right, just to even get that license so that they could be operating legally. So as far as I know, that hasn't changed. But, you know, given the CFO's current letter that came out, kind of making cryptocurrency and cryptocurrency legislation a priority this upcoming session, that change could well be on the way.
And as you've moved beyond businesses to start talking to policy leaders and elected officials, what offices have you had conversations with there? If you can sort of go chronological, like what were your methodology? Who did you reach out to first? What kind of reception did they give you?
Yeah, so the first people I reached out to were those in the Tampa Bay community, right? So some of the first representatives that I reached out to were Representative Jackie Toledo, Representative Ariana, Representative Kathleen Peters, and Representative Jamie Grant. Jamie Grant has been a big, big kind of target in my eyes because he's super pro-technology. Him and Senator Brandis, who's out of the St. Pete area, both tried to sponsor a bill last session that actually kind of included some language on blockchain. It was a healthcare bill that ended up not passing. So actually Representative Jamie Grant will be at the event Monday, because he's trying to be on the forefront of a lot of this tech policy. But then, Senator Brandis has been a big supporter. You know, he's kind of the guy who really advocated for driverless cars to come to Florida, so he's also on the forefront of technology. So they were kind of my target audience. And then, of course, anybody who's on the finance or banking committee are different people that I've been reaching out to as well.
Now, what about when you go to the cabinet level, like the state chief financial officer or someone like that?
Yeah, so, I mean, the CFO was obviously a prime target. And before he even made that letter, I've been trying to reach out to him to get a meeting with him. But once he released that letter, his office actually reached back out to me, and I had a phone call with them as early as 2 days ago. And hopefully a representative from their Tampa office will be coming Monday as well. So, I mean, the things are very encouraging in the sense that people, especially on the political level, they just want to know more because they see a lot of opportunity, but all they know is Bitcoin for criminal activity, right? The only thing they know about Bitcoin is that it was used on something called Silk Road, right? So trying to, like, dispel a lot of those myths and help them realize the huge benefits of being friendly to the industry would bring to the state of Florida has been my biggest mission. So essentially I'm just educating people from the ground up on what blockchain, Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies are doing and how awesome they could be for the Florida economy.
Hi, Jeff, and real quick. Hi, Samuel. This is Sabine.
Hey, Sabine.
Did you catch, are you familiar, you probably are familiar with Caitlin Long, right, in Wyoming?
I am.
Yeah, stalk her if you're not. But she just posted, I think, earlier. I mean that in the best possible way.
So you can see the subliminal messages here, Sam.
So she just posted a thing in Forbes magazine, and it has to do with the Bank Security Act. So it might be a useful resource for you when dealing with other legislatures.
Yeah, and she was a big proponent of the Wyoming bill, correct?
Yes. Yep, that's her.
So It's a presentation Monday. I'm going to be talking about that because my biggest goal is to show them, to use Wyoming essentially as an example of what we want, and
yeah.
then to look at New York and use
Perfect.
That as an example of what we do not want.
So that wasn't Caitlyn Jenner's you guys been talking about all this time.
No.
No, okay. I keep saying Caitlyn, and right away I'm thinking Caitlyn Jenner's is
yes,
it a big
yes,
point?
Yes, you would. But while everybody was engaging there, I did check the Facebook page for Block Spaces does have the 4 o'clock, Samuel. So it's just not to be obsessive about it, but
you're almost more obsessive about that than I am with getting EOS language.
Yeah, there are people that will go to the Block Spaces website to find out when things are, and they're going to be misdirected. So I just wanted to
they're missing out on the special 1 hour personal time with Samuel.
That's it. Not that I'm looking for that. I shouldn't have said that. I said that.
I have this internal feeling for Samuel. He came here, and I want to see him succeed. And
absolutely.
I want him to meet nice people at the right time.
Well, it's good to see. It's good to see young people out there starting businesses in that. I mean, that's a great thing. Especially looking for change in the regulatory area, because it's definitely an area that needs to be changed. When you say $1 million to get a money transmitter license. And all the red tape you have to go through, it should not be that hard. I mean, it should. That's just big banks locking it up for themselves and forcing out small businesses and smaller banks.
Yeah, and I mean, you see that all over, really. And it's been pretty big in the tech industry in general, but especially in banking and financing. I mean, it's nothing new, right? Create a high regulation for quote-unquote safety. Granted, you know, there's always means we want to keep the consumer safe, but a lot of the times the regulations go above and beyond what the mission, quote-unquote, is. And then, yeah, it just becomes a game of not letting small, innovative businesses innovate, right, and just keeping the status quo, which is definitely something we don't want.
So, Samuel, you were talking with the state chief financial officer's office, and I know that name is on every Floridian's tongue, but we'll just say it's Jimmy Patronis, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so our CFO is Jimmy Patronis. He's opposition candidate on the Democratic side for this upcoming election. His last name is Ring. Now, they were debating this issue, at least part of this issue, in Orlando this week, where Patronis' office has announced that they're going to have, I don't know if they use the term czar, but they're going to have a cryptocurrency officer or something that's going to oversee this for the state. I don't know if they can just do that on their own or they need some legislative approval. His opponent on the Democratic side, Ring, was saying that that really needs to be something that's done at the federal level, and if it were done at the state level, it should be under the Attorney General's office. What is the status of that debate right now, and what the issues involved with it are?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing that people need to realize, and this is what I tell anyone who would say maybe what Jeremy Ring said to just wait on the federal level, is that the feds are actively watching what the states are doing, right? So it's not a waiting game. It's more of a conversation. And so if we are able to pass good legislation here in Florida, the feds are going to look at that and use that as an example, right, or see how it works at least, right? So if you have the feds saying, oh, we're going to ban all cryptocurrency, right, and then you have the state of Florida, right, which is the fourth biggest economy, third most private state, say, hey, we're not going to do that. We're going to actually try to promote them. Then that'll give the feds reason to pause, right, and not implement, hopefully, any harmful legislation that they do. So that's something that I openly, and I tell that to state reps as well, who are also kind of, maybe we should just wait for the feds to do something, trying to encourage all of them that, no, we actually do need pro-crypto policy here in Florida because that is actually giving us a say in what the feds are doing because they're just actively watching.
You know, that kind of, you know, it seems to be going the whole way where we're letting the federal government regulate over the states. And that was never the intent. It should be the states, you know, form the legislation, form the laws, and, you know, the Federalist Papers. You know, and so, you know, if they should form their own laws here.
A federal banking system and a state banking system.
Yeah, but when that was only, when was the federal banking system
Because before then, every state had their own currency, or at least every bank had their own currency for a long time. Yeah, so I guess that was back when we had gold standard. But you know, the state should make their own regulations, and then the federal law is there to enforce whether it's the federal should only be looking to see if it's what am I looking for, the Constitution or the
you're an originalist.
I'm an originalist, absolutely.
What do you think, Samuel? I mean, I know you just elaborated somewhat on that, but Andy took a little more the argument to a further level where he's saying leave it to the states, and the federal law, federals just help the states keep their laws enforced. What are your thoughts?
I mean, yeah, as far as crypto policy, I would love for the feds to just watch the states, let them legislate and see what works. But, I mean, in the current system, right, you do have the SEC and the CFTC under huge amounts of pressure from everybody to essentially just do their job and watch out for the consumer, right? So I know they've been doing the best job they can as far as slow walking goes and letting states kind of legislate so that they can see different frameworks and how those might play out. But, you know, there's a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff going on, right? And so the SEC and CFTC are obviously going to be under pressure from any kind of banking organization to kind of legislate or interpret the law in their favor, right? So, I mean, I would love for the state of Florida to just be able to legislate and then be that as it may be an example for the federal government, but if that's going to be how it actually plays out, I have no idea.
Well, Samuel's too polite to take Andy on directly on this, and maybe he doesn't want to, but I'll be happy to. So with what you're suggesting, Andy, is you're going to have a state like New York have their burdensome situation with the bit license law. You're going to have Wyoming at the other extreme. You're going to have a patchwork of 50 different states trying to develop meanwhile, the industry's trying to develop a coherent way of moving the industry forward, all the time competing with China that has a centralized blockchain policy to drive things forward.
Well, if you remember, this wasn't too long ago, but banks were only... They were not allowed to go interstate. Is that not correct? So banks originally were not allowed to go out of the state. And am I wrong there?
Well, when Glass-Steagall came in the 30s, all right, then they said what certain banks could do, and investment was a big part of it. So international investment were prohibited effectively, and that was statewide or nationally or whatever. But now we're flirting with going back to that because the fear of another 08 situation or a 30s depression is right around the corner.
Well, you had to be chartered in the state, but that doesn't mean that Bank of America couldn't own a separately chartered bank in a different state, so you still could have the overreaching
depending on their charter. I mean, if they're basically, as banks at one time were, limited to savings and loans only, they may be ownership there, but when you get into that kind of situation, no, I think if Glass-Steagall were to come back, I think that would be prohibited.
If Florida legislation...
We're really going off the rails on this now.
But if Florida makes legislation, and it's good legislation for cryptos, I think that would be used for other states as a template. And I think you would eventually get to some, you know, there would be some eventual national type legislation there, but I don't think you why would you wait as a state, as Florida, if you want to be at the head of the forefront of technology, you create the legislation and let everybody catch up.
I think part of it too is that arguing the banking situation the way it is now is kind of a moot point because this goes beyond. What we're going to be looking at is a new kind of bank with regulations that aren't going to be the same. And what this kind of makes me want to see, and Samuel might be out there, I haven't actually Googled this yet, what I want to see is a central repository that is tracking all of these experiments that are being done. Does that exist anywhere? Like, you know, Wyoming is doing this, and this is what they're working on. Is anybody doing that in sort of a...
I think Coin Center and CoinDesk try to keep track of all that. What is it, CoinDesk? Is it
CoinDesk?
CoinDesk,
yeah.
Yeah, and CoinCenter. What's the digital chamber of commerce that also you participate with?
Yeah, so the Digital Chamber of Commerce is essentially they're the ones who are in D.C. actively trying to coach the SEC and the CFTC as well as Congress on creating smart policy regarding cryptos and blockchain technology. Right, so I'm in active conversations with them, and they're the ones who have been really kind of on the charge on the federal level, but they've been very encouraging on the state level for kind of exactly what we've already been talking about, right? Because they've been telling me, if you can pass good legislation in Florida, we will actively use that when we're talking to senators or congressmen or people in these different federal agencies. All right, so they're just keeping me updated on everything going on the federal level, and then I'm trying to keep them actively updated on where we're moving here in Florida.
We're speaking with Samuel Arms. He is the CEO of Real Polytech LLC. The website is realpolytechllc.com, and you spell that REALPOLITECHLLC.com. And we're going to continue with this right after the break with Samuel. You're listening to The Henry Raines Show.
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Raines Show.
There is a new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage, quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
I know this is something that is being monitored by our team.
Oh, there you go, direct from Sarah Sanders. In the news that they are monitoring it, and I'm sure Samuel will be in touch with her shortly about that. We've got Samuel.
I would have felt more comfortable if she says, we've really got more important things to monitor than that.
You know, you take it from this.
So this is the last time I'm ever going to answer a question about Bitcoin, because I really don't care.
Yeah, that's a whole different attitude there. Anyway, we have Samuel Arms, CEO of Real Polytech LLC, realpolytechllc.com. He and Blockspaces are hosting a legislative blockchain education and social. That's at 4465 West Gandy Boulevard in Tampa, 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Samuel will be there, our friends Gabe Higgins, Rosa Shores, the co-owners of Blockspaces, and legislatures or legislative office staff will be there to find out more about the relevant issues that Samuel will help explain to them. Samuel, I want to get to one topic here, but I want you to participate too, but is there anything else you want to say to the audience before we run short of time?
No, I mean, I would just encourage them all to come out to the event Monday. You know, this next legislative session is going to be incredibly important as far as cryptocurrency and blockchain goes, especially because of the CFO's letter, and they're kind of taking a focus on that. So just to stay involved, especially now, because hopefully good regulation will be coming, and we definitely don't want anything bad. So now's the time to be aware and be involved.
Are the people from the legislative government side that you've invited, have they been to Blockspaces before?
No, they have not. This will be their first time even meeting people in the industry, most likely.
So it's important. Well, Blockspaces itself makes a great first impression, but it'll be important in forming their opinions by this first impression then.
Yes, 100%.
All right. So one thing that we didn't get to earlier in the session, and Carr has researched this extensively, and that's Tether. And we've had the pendulum swing back and forth. Their law firm says, oh, of course there's Tether there. There's billions of dollars there. Other people say it's like a fractional reserve system. What have you found out about Tether, Carr, that you haven't well, you've talked about it a little bit, but what's the latest on this?
They're thinking of you, Sam. They got your picture pulled up on both of their iPads, and it's like, blah, 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 blah.
I already
Dog
said.
Dog is a good picture.
Oh,
wait,
any picture.
That waveform there, man. That's taking up half the cool of this software.
I mean, it just got hot in this room.
any picture of Samuel is a good picture. But I had, just before the break, had said,
deep
Andy.
Breath, modulate.
Yeah, Andy, you have to speak for me, because I'm trying to formulate these questions. And the biggest thing with Tether that I'm finding, of course, not only do they have their coin, they have Tether, they control the supply, and they control about three exchanges where it starts to go out into the ecosystem and the exchanges. Every time they print, many researchers, including myself, have noticed that about 4 days, 5 days later, the price of Bitcoin usually tumbles quite considerably. I expect it to be a lot more by the end of tonight, but I could be wrong.
Now, I've heard others say that that's a bullish sign, that when it gets printed, the price goes up.
Well, you would think that it does, but it hasn't. I mean, they printed on, like, Monday.
Okay.
So you definitely would think.
Actually,
that.
That's, you know, because we had talked about that, and I said, that doesn't make sense. Why would you print for it to go up? You would print
to create liquidity for people to buy. Same reason the banks make money and loan it out so that you can have economic activity.
I know. I think you'd print when it was before it goes down.
Well, you should be let's get this right. You should be printing when exchanges come back to you to redeem or burn or take out of circulation those who have already redeemed their Tether.
Remember that game you played, Musical Chairs, Henry?
Yeah.
Just don't be the last one standing. That's the whole game with Tether.
Or still in the game when that happens.
That's right.
Because you won't be able to sell what you have.
Absolutely.
Because all the liquidity's been sucked out of the market.
Yep.
Well,
something we were talking about earlier that will go in and off the air.
Well, I have some of my own personal theories about how they're actually doing it, but we'll say that for now, because it just keeps getting better. I mean, you don't even need to go get something difficult to prove that there's problems, because in the last 2 days, they came out with the integration with the exchanges was faulty. In particular, who was it, Poloniex, and happened on Kraken. I think it happened on Bittrex, too, where there was a problem in the code that you could double spend.
Yeah, but that wasn't Tether. That was the exchange itself.
The problem was the exchange itself with Tether. The issue was how they integrated with Tether. So how, I mean, that to me.
So do we know if anything got double spent?
Oh, there was confirmation of at least one out of Flow Mist.
And what did they do to resolve it?
They just printed more.
Oh.
What any good government would do, we just print more.
Just print more. Well, and then too, I mean, as we've been looking and we've had.
Short of your Tether here. Some more.
Well,
sorry, Doc.
Well, if you think about it, am I wrong here, Sam? This is how the financial system works. I'm borrowing something from you to buy Bitcoin, and in that loan process, I'm actually creating money. Is that not how it works?
should be how it works.
There you go. So
is it how it should work in the cryptocurrency world?
It's okay if you're not leveraging the Tether 2 and 3 times, which is what I think's happening.
But they do that with every government does
well,
that.
Well, they do, but we don't want to be that in theory, right? No. I mean, the whole goal of this.
The government is authorized by the government to do that. You don't.
The government authorizes itself.
The police department, yes. The police department has the monopoly on violence in the community. They don't say you go out and create your own police department and keep yourself taken care of. That's how governments work.
Yeah, well, and that's how Tether works.
They control the financial industry. They can control the
enforcement. And we've confirmed that because. Now I want to go back to my little...
Let's hear what Sam has
well,
to
we
say.
Well, we should hear what he has to say.
Yes. Always.
And then I want to talk about my picture. Okay.
Of Sam.
No. Not my picture from this morning. Samuel, looks, you did not
if you remember
that
1970s
picture.
Poster of Dolly Parton on the haystack, that's what they have up here in the radio station of you, Sam.
I'm going to... Everybody's mic's off. Right now. It's just Samuel's phone and my mic for the moment, because all this excitement has turned my post-production work that I wanted to get up to promote the Block Spaces event at 4 o'clock on Monday has now turned into me spending all night trying to get everybody's volume the same on this. At least it will be easy to identify the spikes in volume when I'm looking at the waveform here. Somewhere in all that, Samuel, they were searching for your opinion on Tether. And why don't you do that, and then I'll turn the mics back up, and we'll finish this thing out.
Yeah, my opinion will be pretty short, because Tether is not something that's on my radar consistently. I saw the flaw in the double spending, though, and, I mean, if I own Tether, I would probably end up selling right away, because just from what I've seen in the background, doesn't seem like things are running too well, and I don't appear to be impressed with the management team.
All right. Okay, so now let's hear about Kara's picture.
So, Samuel, I think I just sent it to you, too, just so I can bring you in the loop. Well, Samuel needs to understand what we're looking at as well. But anyway.
Is that the picture of you two?
For those
Tether,
of people that are
connection pictures, so we're good.
That are participating through radio, describe the picture.
So I am going to describe the picture, but I definitely want to see
make
the
sure
little
Samuel
as if he was in the studio. So last week when you had discussed the recent audit of, we got into a heated discussion about auditors recently, and prior.
I don't like auditors.
Therefore, you don't like me.
Well, so, I like the auditors that are on my side.
Anyway, I don't want to bring that back up yet. But so why did I? I'm not sure. Anyway.
I like the way how she carries on the conversation with herself. We just turn everybody's mics off. All right.
So here's my issue. Is last week when we had discussed Tether.
I don't remember heated discussion, but.
Last week when we discussed Tether, a law firm had verified that the balances were there on a particular day, and it was the law firm of Free, Sporkin, and Sullivan.
Right. Wasn't an audit. They just said it's there.
Right. And it for sure couldn't be an audit because, number one, they're not an accounting firm. Number two, they're a law firm. But what I found even...
What was the name of the law firm again?
So it's... Are you going to make fun of my pronunciation?
No, I'm
turning his mic off.
Here, you pronounce the law firm.
Well, now I turned his mic off. Okay. All right, he's back.
Spookin and Sullivan.
But, and Free.
Free, Spookin,
okay.
And Sullivan.
So, anyway, my whole point, like, we so digress from, like, the importance of...
Free, Spookin, and Sullivan.
So...
Spookin is the word that you're having trouble with.
No, I'm having trouble with the former FBI director.
Okay.
So...
Free...
Yes.
Louis Free.
Yeah, Louis. So he's partner in this law firm. Then you've got members tied to Noble Bank.
They're compromised.
I mean, you've taken all these people from the Fed and from the banking system and now they're in charge. So they're taking everything that they know how to do with the Fed and with monetary supply, and they're in charge of Tether and Bitfinex.
Advising them, you mean?
So they're advising them.
Well, if it's a former director of the FBI, you're going to believe them, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I know the only time I needed an attorney, it was not for, you know, advising.
But, I mean, they're definitely, attorneys aren't necessarily the best monetary supply advisors, and they certainly are not accountants. And they're, so I guess my whole thing is that this is just foreshadowing us taking everything that's wrong with what we have right now in our system and superimposing it on cryptocurrency. And we as participants in the cryptocurrency community are allowing it to happen. Because nobody is getting involved, and nobody is, I mean, we're forced in theory. I've never had to use a Tether. I really don't care about Tether other than the fact that it turns up in everything I want to read. So, I hear music. Are you tuning me out?
Speaking of tethering, what time's that thing, Samuel, on Monday?
I'm enhancing your...
All right, so 4 p.m. at Block Spaces, you will be able to see Samuel
Monday.
There. Monday. Monday at Block
Spaces. Go ahead.
About the tethering.
It's an old radio trick that when you're getting to the end of the time, you bring the music up slowly so that you can finish what you want to talk about, but everybody knows that we're sort of getting to that time.
I felt like it was exit stage left. So I'm like, okay, I'm done describing the picture. And
it wasn't trip you out the stage. It was just, you know.
Hey, Samuel, let me say goodbye to you now, because we'll, some of us will see you on Monday.
Yeah, I hope to see all of you there.
All right. Thank you, Sam.
Well, I wanted to hear what he thought about the picture.
Well, so back to EOS.
EOS is the same as this. Okay?
What was the picture of?
So the picture was the whole structure of this law firm, and that they essentially are the Fed. They
a picture,
are the
flowchart.
It was a flowchart of
Oh my gosh, I should have described it as an org chart maybe, but it's not. It's a picture. It's a flow. Yeah.
When you say my picture.
Sorry.
If Andy says my picture, I'm thinking gold Tito.
Yeah, that's right, you know.
So it's funny that Ant, how much time are
if
we
if Augie
time
says
already?
My picture, I'm thinking of a work of art. You say your picture, and Samuel Arms, I'll tell you what I'm thinking.
But it does parallel the situation with EOS as well, is that the people who got in just to speculate and make money, and that was your only purpose of being involved, don't care, and therefore aren't. There's not enough people who actually care right now standing up and voting and taking care and learning how to vote, and that needs to happen. It needs to happen in EOS, and it needs to happen on purchasing crypto.
And that is my cue to bring up the outro music that is perfectly chosen to follow up your discussion. Next week, a Best of Show will be back without Kara for one more week after that, but some of us will be here with a live show the week after that.